place. And so it's the same is true as we get into the message this afternoon. And if you would, take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter number 10. And whenever you find your place there, if you wouldn't mind, please to stand for the reading of the Word of God this afternoon. Luke chapter 10. Still hear some pages going. We'll start here in just a second. Luke chapter 10. We're going to start our reading in verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care?" That sounds familiar, doesn't it? "Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." A little bit sassy with our Lord. Not cool. Verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful, as anxious, and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." So the title this afternoon is this: First Things First. First things first. There's a lot that we need to do. So let's make sure we keep first things first. Let's pray and get into it. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the clarity it brings and the help that's there. Pray that you help me as I declare your word this afternoon. Help me to declare it in a way that's understandable. Help us, God, to be attentive. And I know it's been a long day and we're full. And Lord, there's a lot to look forward to this afternoon. But help us, God, now with your help. We need to focus and hear from you. So help us with that, please. Pray that you be glorified by all we do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So there's a lot of things that we can be involved with in our life, and we all have different areas where that looks. There's lots of things that can take up our time, and that's not a new thing. There's always been things that fill up our schedule, some of us more than others, but all of us have opportunity to fill our schedules with lots of things, with family things, hobbies, work. The list can really go on and on. And as I said, that's not a new predicament. Mary and Martha found themselves in that place. Where we get here in Luke chapter 10, Jesus is coming to the house of Mary and Martha. Now, up to this point, Jesus has been traveling and teaching the Word of God. Now, if you've been with us again in our Luke series, we were dealing with that year and a half that he was in Galilee. But since then, he's moved on. And really, for the last 6 months of his life, here's what Jesus did. He just traveled and preached and traveled and taught and traveled and taught. And right before we get to our passage this morning, what happened is that Jesus actually sent out 70 disciples. And he sent them out for this purpose, to go two by two to different cities and prepare the way for Jesus to come and to teach his message. And so these people went out and prepared cities for Jesus to come and for them to receive his message. And it doesn't say here in this passage, but Bethany is where Mary and Martha lived. And Jesus came to this house in Bethany, and the ladies that lived there were Mary and Martha. And when he gets to this house, verse 38 says, "Now it came to pass as they went," they is Jesus and the apostles, going and teaching the message of the gospel and preaching the word of God, teaching the what would be later called the apostles' doctrine. He comes to a certain village, which again is most likely Bethany. It's where they lived. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And so that phrasing, him into her house, means this, that Martha would have been the authority here. for whatever reason, maybe she wasn't married, or maybe her husband was out of town, or whatever it was, but Martha would have been the authority of this house, and it would have been her responsibility then to provide hospitality. Now, at that time, hospitality was a big deal. It's still a big deal today, but in Israeli culture, and really even in the Old Testament, hospitality was a big part of what God wanted for them. And so she was doing the right thing here. Jesus never rebukes Martha for being hospitable to Jesus. In fact, hospitality was so important that when Jesus sent out the disciples two by two, I told you, just before this, that the Jesus told them, now I want you to take nothing with you, I want you to enter these cities, and I want you to preach the gospel, preach the word of God, and when you get there, I want you to enter into a house, and when you get to the house, let's look up here, when you get to the house, they're going to either receive you or not. And if you come to a house, and if they don't receive you, and if they don't take care of you, and if they're not hospitable to you, here's what Jesus said, dust off the dust from your feet and move on. And so hospitality was a big part of what they were supposed to do. In fact, even verses before, hospitality to the messenger, to the teacher of the message, could not be separated from hospitality to the message. It was a big part of what Jesus had them do and what they ought to do as a people. And so Jesus entered into the village and he came to their house. And here's what happened. He comes into the house of Mary and Martha, and they responded in different ways. They responded in different ways. We said in verse 38, Martha received him into her house. So she took on herself the responsibility to be hospitable to Jesus, to prepare the meal, to prepare his dwelling place, to do all these different things, to make sure that Jesus' stay was comfortable and that Jesus was well taken care of. That's what Martha instantly did. Now, verse 39, Mary, he had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. Now it says also sat, so what that means most likely is, you know, they received him into the house, and Mary probably did the obligatory things, you know, received him, helped show him where he's going to stay, you know, gave him the rundown of the place, and then she sat down and started to hear from Jesus, because she knew who Jesus was. He was, remember, he was healing people and he was performing miracles, but more than that, he was a preacher of the Word of God. And he was delivering the message. And even the healings and even the miracles all pointed back to the message of Christ. Okay? So she knew who Jesus was. Now, at this time, they became very close friends with each other. Jesus spent a lot of time with Mary and Martha. This is probably the first time they met Jesus. And so they don't have that kinship yet, but she knows who's in her house. It's Jesus. And most likely at this point in his ministry, she probably believed that he was the Messiah. And so when Jesus comes and he's going to teach, she stopped everything. And she sat at his feet. Now, when you sit at someone's feet, that's the position of a disciple. We still say today, they sat at the feet of this person to learn. But literally, that's what they did. They would sit right at his feet and cling on the words of whoever it is that they were learning from. The other thing is, this is not a position that women typically took in that day. Women typically weren't the ones that were sitting and receiving instruction, but she didn't care about any of that. She didn't care what needed to be done right then. She didn't care what the culture thought about it. Jesus was there. He was teaching. She was at his feet. Okay? Martha kept working. Martha kept preparing the house. She was busy serving Jesus. Okay? So Martha was busy learning from Jesus. No, Mary was busy learning from Jesus. Martha was busy serving Jesus. She was slaving away, making sure everything was prepared for the meal they were about to have. And as I said, there's nothing wrong with that. That was important to serve and be hospitable. So the point here is not to say that either Mary or Martha was better or worse for doing what they were doing. Okay? Jesus never rebukes Martha for serving him. There is obviously nothing wrong with sitting at Jesus' feet either. And so this isn't, like I said, her or she chose right and she didn't choose right necessarily. Both were good. But here's the problem. Look at verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. She was cumbered. And so cumbered means she was stressed out. She was pulled at every direction. She was overwhelmed. Okay? And then she came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care?" See? Again, it's the same problem, isn't it? You're going to see this pop up over and over and over. The problem was not that Martha had a lot to do. The problem was not that Mary wasn't being very considerate. That Mary wasn't being very considerate of Martha. None of that was the problem. The problem was somewhere along the line, Martha started to believe things about Christ that weren't true. She started to believe that Jesus didn't care for her. And so she questioned Jesus' care. She's essentially saying, "Jesus, don't you see what I'm doing for you? You know, I'm here slaving away and Mary's just sitting there doing nothing." Now, was she doing nothing? No, she wasn't. And so then Martha went so far as to demand Jesus. She demanded Jesus. Look what it says. She says, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone, left me to serve alone?" And then she says, "Bid her therefore that she help me." Jesus, you tell her to get off of her rump and help me. Now, is that the right attitude to have? No. And so she's believing things that aren't true about God. She's being overwhelmed by what she's doing. She's forgetting who God is. And now she's mistreating people in her life and blaming them and questioning Christ and demanding things from God. Not a good place to be. Not a good place. I don't know about you, but when I read that, when I read about how Martha's demanding Jesus and questioning Jesus, something in me is not okay with this, you know? I'm pretty upset about that. Who does she think she is? And then to talk bad about Mary, who's really doing the right thing. She's learning from Christ. She's doing what she's supposed to do. And you're going to attack Mary, and then you're going to demand Christ? I don't think so. And something in me gets riled up. But then I remember me. Yeah. I think back to times of my life where I've really treated God the same way. Where I've allowed the circumstances of life to overwhelm me. Where I've allowed the responsibilities to become so enthralling and so overwhelming that I forgot who Jesus was. And yeah, I'm busy serving Jesus, but I've forgotten who He was. You know what that causes in your heart? It causes for you to lash out at people, and it causes for you to treat God in a way that you ought not. As Christians, we can disrespectfully complain to God about what He has allowed in our life. We can do that, can't we? The reason she's so busy is Jesus showed up. You know? Jesus is in a bad spot. We can come to times in our lives when we become so overwhelmed, even with very good things. Things that, of themselves, if done with the right heart, would actually be pleasing to God. And allow those, even good things, to cause us to question His care for us. We can allow the busyness of those things to overwhelm us. And the word cumbered means to be driven about. And we're driven about mentally and to pull us in every direction. We forget who God really is. And I think Martha knew who she was talking to. If she didn't know for sure this was God Himself, she would have known this is at least a man from God, probably the Messiah. And she would have known intellectually that He cared. She would have known intellectually that she can't talk to Him that way. But all that she cared about at that moment was getting the things done that she thought she needed to get done. And I know there's been times in my life where I've done that. Where I have a knowledge of who God is. Like if you asked me and I took a quiz, you know,
And you said, does God care?
Yeah, duh. Is God able to maybe handle all this for you? Oh, of course he is. He's God. He made me, you know? Of course. But whenever overwhelming life circumstances come in, we're tempted to forget those things. To forget those things. And sometimes it's even serving him that can do it. That can do it. Yeah. So how did Martha get to this place? How did she get from being so concerned about serving Jesus? And I'd have to believe that in the beginning she just had a great spirit and was serving, was happy, making sure he was comfortable in her house, to getting to this place where she's questioning him and disrespecting him and demanding him. Well, Jesus knows, right? He knows exactly what happened in her heart. He knows exactly where she's been. And as she's accusing him of not caring, in fact, it's the opposite. He knows exactly what's going on in her mind. He knows exactly how she got to this place, better than she even would. And so his response will help us see that. So look in verse 41, where he says, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." And so Jesus, you know, he's God. He's Lord. Remember how Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things what I say?" Jesus is Lord. Like, we're obligated to do what he says. We're obligated to respect him. And when we disrespect him and we disobey, he has every right to squash us. And he could have let Martha have it right here. "Oh, really? You think I don't care? Oh, really? You're going to tell me what to do? Well, I'll put you right in your place." But that's not what our Lord did, is it? No, he lovingly reminded Martha of who he is. Lovingly reminded Martha of who he is. He used a double vocative, that's what it's called. When he said, "Martha, Martha," that was in the Greek, a term that meant that he cared. It was emotion, it was sympathetic. It showed that he cared for Martha. And he wasn't just scolding her again, like he definitely could have, and we would have had to just accept that because he's God and he could do that. But instead, he showed her that he cared about her, and then he showed her that he did see what she was doing. He says, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." And so not only did he care, but he saw everything she did for him. "I see the things you're doing, Martha." Yeah. "Not only do I see the things you're doing, but I see how it's affecting you too." He says, "You're careful and troubled." Yeah. Careful and troubled. He said, "I know what you're doing. You're slaving away. You're doing a lot of good things," and he never scolds her for what she's doing. "You're working so hard, and it's obviously weighing you down. And while I'm pleased with your servant's heart and the fact that you're selflessly serving others, even at your own detriment at times, here's the deal, Martha. What I'm primarily concerned about here is that you have a relationship with me." That's what he told her. He said, "Mary, there's only one thing that's needful. You're doing a lot of things, but you're leaving out the only thing you really need to do. And that's have a relationship with me. You see?" I mean, of course, Jesus wants his disciples to serve him. We just read about the 70 who went out. He wants his disciples to serve him. Though, in fact, between the 70 going out and this story is the parable of the Good Samaritan who served people. So Jesus is interested that we serve him. But Martha's problem was not that she was serving. Martha's problem that she was allowing her service to Christ, listen, to distract her from Christ. And we can do that, can't we? We can allow even good things, like serving him, to allow us to get so busy that we neglect him. Because, listen, serving Jesus is counterproductive It's counterproductive when it replaces spending time with Him. There's a lot of things that we can do and should do for Christ. But there's really only one thing we need to do. And that's spend time with Him. If you're too busy to spend time with God, you're too busy. I don't care what it is. You're too busy. You need to spend time with Him first. First things first. And allow the service you do for Him to flow from your relationship that you're building with Him. And you know, honestly, if we're honest, it's usually not the busyness of life that pulls us away from God. I mean, listen, it'll take us half an hour to have a good devotion with Him in the morning. Half an hour. Or any time. It doesn't have to be in the morning. Sometimes it's better to start off your day and get right with God and understand who you're serving that day and ask for His help. And you ought to at least pray in the morning and ask for His help in the morning. But it doesn't take that long. Usually it's not a logistics issue. We sometimes just use that as a reason to not sit at Jesus' feet sometimes. Martha could have spent time with Jesus and then did all of these things. But here's the thing. That Jesus was helping Martha see. Martha, we don't please Jesus by doing a lot of things. We don't earn brownie points with Jesus. Jesus is pleased, first of all, to have a relationship with us. You see? That's what Jesus wants more than anything. That's what God wants more than anything we do. He wants us to have a relationship with Him. He wants to hear from you. He wants for you to hear from Him. Jesus wants a personal relationship. He doesn't want a servant. He wants a child. You're His child if you're saved. And yes, you serve Him, but not because you feel like you have to if He's going to accept you or not. And sometimes we think that if we keep doing things and if we just keep ourselves busy serving the Lord, that He'll accept us. No, that's not it. He loves you and He wants a relationship with you and He wants your heart. And if He has your heart, then He'll also have your service. But sometimes we think we can earn His favor. And yeah, we weren't confused about that with salvation. We know we can't be saved by doing stuff. But sometimes we think that we can impress Him by doing stuff. And it's not the case. God is pleased by faith only, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please. And so what God wants more than anything, there's only one thing that you need to do. Everything else comes after. There's only one thing that you need to do, and that's to be right with God. And then allow for the rest to go through it, that relationship. It's easy to allow yourself to be overwhelmed, pulled in every direction, so much that you forget who He is. And as we said this morning, if you start forgetting who He is, if you start believing stuff about Him that's not true, it only hurts. It only hurts. And so on the authority of the Scripture, I can tell you that no matter how hard it seems or no matter how thin you're stretched, God does care about you. Yeah. He cares about you more than you can understand. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. He sees what you're doing. And He knows how it's affecting you, and He loves you, and He cares for you. And while He's pleased that you work for Him, God is not primarily concerned with what you do for Him. God is primarily concerned with your relationship with Him. And so just stop and think about your walk with God. Your walk with God is not your ministry. I didn't say stop and think about all the things you do for God. No, I'm saying stop and think about your walk with God. Do you walk with Him and talk with Him? Are you in the Word of God every day? And here's a potential problem with this. Oh, that's just another thing I got to check off. Got to be in the Bible every day. No, we want to be in the Bible every day because we want a relationship with Him. You see, we ought to crave that. And there's going to be things pulling away from that, but we ought to crave a personal walk with God. And that has to do often with having our nose in the book. That's how He speaks. Are you praying every day? If you're not doing these things, don't fool yourself. You're not walking with God the way you ought to. God wants a personal walk, daily walk with Him. You can't live this Christian life on your own. God never asked you to do that. He never asked you to live this life on your own. Yeah. And if you are having that time with God every day, let's just take this time to evaluate that. How's that going? Because if we're not being intentional, if we're not really thinking about our walk with God, it can slip very easily. We have to be intentional about this. A devotion has just become another daily task that you added to your day. If that's what's happening, truly, just remember that God's not primarily concerned with what you do. He's primarily concerned with you having a walk with Him. And so allow your service for God to extend from your relationship with God. Listen, not the other way around. See? Because serving Jesus is counterproductive. If it replaces or it suppresses your walk with Jesus. So keep serving God. Keep serving God. Don't give that up. But let's just make sure that we keep first things first. First things first. Lord, thank You so much for Your love for us. Thank You that You do care for us. Thank You, God, that You see what we're doing. You see the things in our life that cumber us, that overwhelm us, that trouble us, that make us anxious. Lord, You see what's happening in our life and in our heart and our minds. And I'm thankful that You love us so much. And You want to be there. And you want to help carry that load. In fact, you'd rather carry the load yourself. Help us, God, to make our walk with You primary, most important, non-negotiable, that we're going to spend time with You because we need You and because we love You. We don't deserve it, but Lord, You want us to have a relationship with You. And so help us, God, to get past the shallow just serving and checking boxes and to look past that and look at who we're serving and develop a relationship with You. We love You. Thank You for loving us. Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together. Brother Josh is going to play a song of invitation.